What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome and scary edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It is Wednesday. Hope your week is a great one. And on Wednesdays, keeping with the theme, we have Practical Solutions Day, which means bringing you some practical solutions to the real problems that you have. And one of the problems that dentists have is they don't know how to dismiss someone. They don't know when to dismiss somebody. And I'm really using dismiss for the word I don't like, which is fire somebody. So here's my question. What are the signs in which you know it's time to fire somebody? I don't even like that phrase. I don't like that title at all. I'm terrified. But we're going to walk you through it with an amazing coach, and her name is Adriana Booth. And today, we're going to talk about the five signs in which you know it's time to fire somebody. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. We love bringing these and we are so grateful that you're showing up. And today, I'm going to be honest with you, it's a scary one, not a comfortable topic, but we do get this question all the time. How do I let somebody go? I don't really even like the word fire. I like the idea of freeing up their future. But the topic of today's conversation is five signs it's time to fire someone. And while I'm not good at this, I thought I'd bring in one of our amazing coaches, Adriana Booth, to help us through this. AB, welcome back. I always appreciate you.
Thanks, Kirk. Yeah, I think we both have a little dry mouth already just reading that first line. I'm a certified wuss, as you've probably heard Kirk say as well. So we're excited to tackle this together. Oh, so here we go, Kirk.
Yeah. This is always a tough thing, and we're going to talk about the reality of it and why it's important and some of the things. The unfortunate process of owning a business is that you do have to know how to do this when it's in the best interest of the business. The other unfortunate process is no one really teaches you how to do this. You learn by fire. I remember the first time I did it, I hired a secretary and it was not a great fit. And I think, well, it took me like 6 weeks to figure out this is not a great fit. And then it took me another 6 weeks to figure out how to say this. And then it probably took me, I don't know, 60 minutes to have the conversation. And it was a disaster. And we're hoping you guys don't ever have to do that. So AB, let's do this. Let's start at the top. And just maybe start with the why. Why is this so important to learn how to see these signs to let this team member know it's time for us to go our separate ways?
Yeah, and you're right. It is a hard one because we love people and we love to try to support and rehabilitate, retrain, all the things. So we are now past that point, right? So when we're starting to have this conversation, we've already exhausted all of those other efforts. And we don't take this lightly at all. One of the most important things we think about in freeing up someone's future or firing someone, it is the effect it has on the rest of the team. Right? So having the wrong person in the wrong seat or just the wrong person, period, is very detrimental to the rest of the team. One of the top reasons that we can think of when we want to preserve our team morale, we have worked really hard to get where we are as a team from the leadership down. And having that really positive team morale is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'll say this too, because we're going to cover these things. You know, if you do hiring right, it's not that you won't have to let people go. It's just that you'll have to do it a lot less. So usually I think the biggest lesson that I learned is that when I was letting people go, and sometimes one or two or three times a year, I was the problem. It wasn't the team member that was the problem. But let's go back to what you just said. Like, the number one thing you want to do, and remember, here's the big picture. You spend 30% of your life at work. And so an important piece of that is going to work and enjoying the people that you have around you and having really good team morale. And when you don't have that, it is hard. And nothing frustrates a great team member than when you consistently tolerate a bad one. And that was the story of my first half of this journey, is that I would tolerate really bad morale and really bad behavior. And I didn't take a lot of time to really contemplate how it was affecting my good team members. Don't you think, AB?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've all experienced that on the other side as a team member. You may have worked with someone, especially in a practice where we all rely on each other for everything. We're a small group in a lot of situations. So if one of us is late consistently every day, that means others are picking up the slack. And when that behavior gets tolerated by the leader, or it looks to be tolerated, it creates this like low-level frustration with the rest of the team. And they start thinking negatively of the leader as well, not just that other team member. So that's where that whole team morale shift can start. But then we also think about how that relates to our reputation as a practice and how much patients trust us, especially as the leader. You know, a patient comes in and they notice that their hygienist comes to get them late for every time they have an 8 o'clock a.m. appointment. And little do they know that it's because that team member just ran through the door at 8:05 every time. So the rest of the team is frustrated. It looks bad on the office because the patients are coming back late. And then it really looks bad on the doctor for tolerating it. So that trickle down effect is now like snowballing, right? And the patients start to pick up on it.
Yeah.
And other people pick up on it too. So when we're recruiting another position for the practice, we may have a reputation out there in this very small dental community to say, hey, you might not want to work there.
Yeah.
They've got a couple people that show up late every day. Nothing's ever done about it. It's frustrating.
Yeah. We've said it many times before on the podcast. You've been listening, like, your number one currency for the future is trust, not only with your team members, but also with the people that you serve. And when you have one of these squeaky wheels, or a team member that's just not playing well, or they respond curtly to patients, or, you know, they're just not into it, it starts to impact how everybody feels. And then patients are smart. They know if you're liking each other, if you're getting along, they can pick up on the vibes. You know, I would say this is a generalization, but I don't often notice these things, but Sarah will pick up on vibes a lot. She's like, ooh, this is not good. So like, I'm like, how can you see that? She's like, I can just feel it. So if you don't think people can see this or feel it, that's not true. It's impacting the people that you serve. So.
Absolutely. And that just goes into, you know, we don't want unnecessary stress. We work in a high stress environment. We work in a really close space in a dental office, meaning proximity to our patients and one another. So we want to have, you know, as predictable as we can days, right? Every day. That's our, you know, better practice, better life. And when it comes to the 80% rule, this plays into it as well. So if we can create an environment, a morale, a feel of the team, I'm like Sarah, I'm a vibe person. If we can keep that as smooth and steady and just kind of positive or happy 80% of the time, we are winning, right? So we want to lower that stress level by just really not tolerating a lot of bad behavior.
Right? Yeah. And that stress is really, I'd say that's probably my number one thing is, You know, if you have 12 team members and you have a team member that's fallen into this zone where you're like, okay, this is not the right fit for us. All of your brain power and all of your focus and all of your thinking, you're never thinking about your great team members. You never think about them. You're only thinking about the one that isn't making it, isn't working. And so all of your focus is on that. And the dangerous part of that is whatever you're focusing on, it grows. So if you don't address it, it goes from one person to a second person and a third person. Now, this podcast is not about this, but we use a term called energy sucker. When you have somebody sucking the life out of you, whether it be in business or in your practice or in your life, you don't really have one. You got a second one on the way because an energy sucker likes to co-suck. And then they create a tri-suck and then they create a quad suck. And before you know it, you're like, what in the world just happened? So when this happens, you know, I always say that like when weeds come into the garden of your practice, you have to weed the garden or else the weeds will take the garden. So all of this is important. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, and you're like, I'm not enjoying this, Kirk. Like nobody enjoys this, but we want to call out like you have to address this quickly or it just compounds and it grows organically. So maybe we could talk about like, yeah, how do we do this, AB? Like, right? What are the five signs?
Yeah. So when we want to think about those of us, well, not me, but those who don't believe or feel the vibes of when it's right, we can lean in pretty heavy on these five signs that will tell us with a little more swim lanes. You know, we've got some structure to these. I think the first one is that they don't really align with your core values. And it doesn't mean that they can't have a hiccup every now and then, or that you as the leader can't have a hiccup every now and then. But on a daily basis, how do they show up within the team, within your patients, within your interactions? That's where we have to look at it through a little more critical lens. Like, is it a consistent misalignment of values?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you're like me 10, 15, 20 years ago, you'd be like, oh, core values, that's awesome. That's, I totally agree. Next, you know, type of a thing. And then you just kind of skip over it. The hard work of really leaning into your core values, giving voice to them, you know, calling them out is important because there are a lot of teams that we get, even in this community, they come into this community new and they're like, we've had core values forever. And then you ask a team member, like, I have no idea. Are those the things on the wall? So that would be my first thing. Core values, let me just define them from my vantage point. They're non-negotiable behaviors, meaning this is how you behave here. And you get to decide those as a business owner. They can't be lofty words like excellence or, you know, just I like them to be, this is how we behave. My favorite one is all in attitude. So it's just something that everybody's got to have. I'll take out the trash. I've seen Barrett clean the carpets here. Like everybody is all in on where we're going. And I'll tell you this in addition to that. Once you get your core values right and you put the flag in the ground, you go, this is how we're going to behave. You will get rid of so many other things. Like the weird stuff that you dealt with your whole life, it goes away. It is weird stuff repellent. I don't know how to say that, but like when you put your core values in the ground, you're like, this is it. We're not going back. And you hold them high, which means you make sure everybody behaves that way. You'll just find that you don't deal with a lot of crazy stuff. So you're right. The first significant sign that you know that you have to let somebody go is they're just not lining up with your core values. Now, let me give you a specific example. All in attitude. That is so important to me that if anyone ever says to me for the rest of my career, that's not my job, I don't do that, I think I might lose my mind. You know what I'm like? Okay, I would have to say it calmly. So that's a perfect example of somebody who's not all in saying, that's not my job. They got to figure that out. You know, I get it that we have departmental priorities and systems and things like that, but it's got to be like a, hey, I am here to help all in. Wouldn't you agree, AB?
1,000%. And I think that's the detriment to most teams is someone saying, oh, well, I don't do that. That's not my job.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're all here to help each other, regardless of the job.
Yeah. Now, let me give you the down and dirty details of like how to do this, because you might be thinking, okay, that makes sense. So first of all, you only hire people for two reasons. they're the right person and they're the right seat. Now, the right person fits your core values. The right seat means they get results, which we're going to talk about in a second. And we highly encourage people to use a right person, right seat scorecard, meaning you can give people feedback numbers, not just words, numbers. And we like the numbers 0, 1, 2, meaning 0 is below expectations, 1 meets expectations, and 2 exceeds expectations for each one of the core values. That said, regularly, you can sit down with somebody and give them data to let them know if they're meeting or exceeding those values. Anything else you would add, AB?
No, I think that's great. And there's, you know, we have so much in our BPA around all of that. So, you know, hop into the BPA after you've taken some notes on this, and we'll create this whole spider web of things for you to work on around this. So alignment with core values. Yeah, that's definitely one. And like you said, you know, consistently not meeting expectations.
Okay. You know, tell, so what's that mean? Tell me more about that. I love that.
Yeah, I will. So think about that as you have a list of duties and there is a consistent conversation around this isn't being completed, or it's not being completed into which the standard we have set. Once, have some corrective action. Two, have some corrective action. This is 4, 5, 6, 7 times. This is multiple team members voicing concerns, you seeing concerns. That is where we have to say, okay, is it clear what we're asking of you? Yes, we're in agreement. Okay, great. What is prohibiting you from meeting these expectations?
Yeah.
Nothing. Okay, where are we at now? You know, now we're at that impasse. We have agreed that we're not meeting expectations. So there's already two reasons that that person's future will be best served in another practice.
Yeah, absolutely. We like to use a formula. You guys have heard it before, E minus R equals C. So expectations minus reality equals conflict. It's something I would encourage you to teach everybody on your team about, meaning we've got expectations, and if the reality falls short, we're going to get into conflict. Now, that's not the end all be all, but it becomes a formula you could diagnose where the conflict is coming from. Now, let me go back to expectations. I think everybody on your team has got to have a clear job description and accountabilities. That's usually where things go wrong in a hiring situation. We don't onboard team members, we waterboard them and throw them into a situation where expectations grow, they get fuzzy, it's not clear. And so in your head as a leader, you're telling yourself a story that this person's falling short. In all fairness, team members have to be given the opportunity, clear opportunity to succeed. And when that is done correctly, now you can talk to them, you can coach them, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, to see if they're the right fit. And it shows up in the data. You don't have to, here's what I'm gonna say. If you do this right, you actually don't have to fire people. You can go through this process. You can use the right person, right seat scorecard. And that's not what this podcast is about. But over time, people go, okay, I'm clearly not the right fit. And you still can give them an opportunity and it becomes systematic. So that is number two, consistent failure to meet expectations. What's number three, AB?
Toxic behavior that impacts culture.
Whoa. Back up. This is where a lot of us start, myself included. So what does that even mean?
Oh, I like to think of this as bad behaviors that become common.
Mm.
And it can range from, gosh, lots of variety here. Arguing. Disagreeing without being reasonable happens in a lot of small practices. Maybe think about this as triangulation. You know, you may have one person that dislikes another team member's behavior, so they find a buddy and they get that buddy to not like this team member's behavior. So now they're having this little gossip sesh about, you know, this other person. And it's kind of a little mean girl club, so to speak. You know, they're really being critical maybe of someone else's behaviors. And instead of going directly to that team member and saying, hey, you know, maybe I didn't like our interaction. I didn't like maybe your tone. they're not doing that and committing to, you know, some work we've done here at ACT is the five dysfunctions of a team. So they're not committing to clear communication. They're kind of circumventing and going around and having these conversations with other people. So it's a little bit like gossip, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and gossip can steal everything you've worked so hard for. So some quick tips on this is, I think from top down, you have to teach everybody how to behave and communicate. Meaning, if you have a partner or people on your leadership team, you have to have these locked in rules. Meaning, what we talk about here, we are aligned. Now, you don't have to agree, but you do have to be aligned, and you got to leave this room, and we're going to cascade this in the exact way we described it. That's number one. Number two is having any team member, new or existing team member, showing them how to communicate. You do have to teach people how to communicate. And here's a perfect example. When you said triangulation, that is a big deal. That is a huge deal. Meaning, I'm going to come to you to complain about someone else. Now, it's worse. It's 10x when it's about a leader. So I don't want to make it about like, but when a leader is involved in that on any level, whether the person you're talking to or the person you're talking about, now it's destroying it a much, the toxicity is 10x. So you got to kill that. And number two is, if it's happening among team members, it is still extremely toxic. And one of the things our coach helped us with, this is so great, is when you have to teach team members, you can't go to other team members to complain about somebody. You have to go to the source. Now, everybody's heard that, but nobody knows how to do that. And what you have to do is you got to make the easy difficult. Meaning, if AB's coming to me to complain about somebody, you have to make this a difficult conversation for AB. Or if I'm going to her, she's got to make it difficult for me. And the easiest way to do that is, I understand. Do you want me to tell her, or are you going to tell her? That stops it all. If everybody can buy in on that question, I understand. Are you going to tell them, or do you want me to tell them? That stops it, because as soon as you invite it, you're going to open the door for more of that. And absolutely, it just becomes this feeding frenzy on those things. So toxic behavior can kill your culture, and you need a way to teach people how to communicate. So anything else you would add about number three?
No, I love that window. And you know, we've all worked in environments, or we've had clients as coaches, that there's some offices that you'll find someone that maybe the leadership team, or in a small practice, the doctor, he or she's their own leadership team. You'll find a team member that really tries to align with them so that they're always the one in their ear about everything. And a lot of times that's the person that's the most toxic to the whole team.
Right.
But they don't see it that way, because they feel like they've got this confidant and they've got this back door, you know, okay, I'm hearing all the things that are going on. So that's where you have to be really, really conscientious. And Kirk, your advice is spot on. Okay, you're telling me this about Susie. Do you want me to tell Susie, or are you going to tell Susie? You know, a lot of people are like, you know, hit the brakes. Maybe nobody tell Susie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that important, you know, keep it moving.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's great. Great advice, Kirk. Great advice.
Yeah. What's the fourth sign we have to part ways with somebody?
You know, and this one is so fascinating to me, because I run into this one the least, I think. And when I do, it is the telltale sign of, no, we are finished. This is relationships over. It's being resistant to feedback or growth. So, you know, if I'm not meeting standards as a hygienist, maybe I'm not perio charting on the same routine as the other hygienists, and my leader comes to me and says, hey, you know, I've noticed that, you know, you haven't been doing this. And it's like, oh my goodness, thank you so much for calling me out. Let's review that system and we'll go from here. You know, that's a positive reaction to what feels like an itchy conversation of feedback or a growth moment. But if that person is met with excuses, you know, denying that it's happening, that's when we go, we have some awareness issues going on. You know, self-awareness is huge. Emotional intelligence piggybacks right on top of that. So when we have a situation where the team member just refuses to take feedback that is given kindly and constructively, that's the big red flag. That's a whole red flag parade.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of things to think about. We use these terms internally. Clear is kind. When you're being clear with people, you're actually being kind to them. So the growth thing, I would agree with you, AB. This isn't one we run into a lot, but we do see it. And I don't know if this is helpful, but I tell people I don't do the hiring anymore. But when I did, it's like, do you like reading books? Do you like taking courses? And they'll go, yeah. I go, well, you really have to. This can't be one of those things you say yes to, because if you don't, this is going to be a hard job. We love taking courses. We love taking classes. This is an environment that's built on one of our core values, which is always be growing. We say ABG all the time. So if you're not into growth, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't even continue this process because it's not going to be for you. Another thing is, and again, I want to go back to preventing the fires instead of dealing with the fires. A big piece of it for you as a leader is to ask people, you know, would you like to be successful here? Now, that's a silly question because most everybody's going to say yes. But you can show them the right person, right seat scorecard and say, we're going to use this regularly and I'm going to let you know how you're doing with core values and job, your job around results. Are you excited about that? Like, would you like honest feedback on this? And if they say yes, they've given you permission to use that system. And then lastly, you use the word, you know, we're talking about coaching. Now, this is a tough one, like, you know, coaching or feedback. I like to say, how are you with coaching? People always say, what do you mean by that? Like, do you like to get coaching? And it's not what they say, it's how they say it. That's usually, they go, I'm good with coaching, which is a no, you know? but here's the truth of it. Like, we are a coaching company. We pride ourselves on being better. So I am going to give you feedback. It's going to be straightforward. It's going to be honest. It's going to be calm. It's going to be clear, you know, I want to see how you are with that. And that is important because if they're defensive, this is not going to work. You're going to be trying to help them and they're going to take it the wrong way. And so I think that's a baseline that's got to be established before, because somebody that's not performing well or they're toxic, you're going to give them feedback and they're going to hear it the wrong way. So I don't know. Anything else you would add on that one, AB?
You know, I think, you know, if I was a business owner listening to this, I would maybe feel that this all falls on me, but it doesn't. The coaching piece and the constructive but kind feedback is really the responsibility of all the team members, right? It goes back to that clear communication, and being clear is being kind. So if I'm onboarding another team member, you know, I want to make sure I have those conversations with them too. Like, the things I may point out aren't to pick on you or to try to make you feel bad, but I just want you to be better because I want you to be successful here. So that's also something that the leader or the business owner can lean on, is his, you know, his team, to help give coaching and give each other positive or constructive feedback when in the time arises.
Totally agree. What's sign number five?
Ooh, it's the negative impact on patient relationships. So this is no longer internal. This is actually what's showing up within our patient base. And granted, yes, we, the team, are the most important people in the office first, but actually our patients are extremely important too. You know, we run a really tight race. So we want to make sure that the patients are experiencing all of us at our best as often as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, this is one of those that doesn't show up a ton, but when it does, it hurts. And I would say this to you as a business owner, I think one of the best things you can do is build a team in which you're consistently getting a lot of positive feedback. I say this publicly all the time. That's my favorite thing, is when people come up to you and they go, you know, so-and-so on your team, like, they're amazing. Like, I just love it. That's what you're ultimately creating. Now, you have the other side of the fence when a patient comes up to you and gives you negative feedback about a team member. Now, that's usually not isolated. And it's important to address it right away. I tell people all the time, people can't like us. They have to love us. And so if you don't enjoy people or making them feel better about being here, that's something that has to be addressed, because it's the cliche. People don't remember how, you know, what you did. They only remember how they feel. And that is absolutely true. Now, going back to the original thing, number one, if you get the core values right, this is where you're going to have very little of this. Your core values, when it's the right formula, you're going to know right away that this is going to be somebody that positively impacts the patient relationships. When this pops up, it's something you definitely have to trust. I want to add one more thing too, because I don't want you to hear the wrong thing. You know, you might be hearing me going, well, you know, you don't understand, Kirk. Not everybody walks around so happy. I'm moody at times too. Like, moods and attitudes are two different things. You can be moody. I never tell people, don't be moody, don't be moody. No, mood is an internal thing, but an attitude is an external manifestation. I know when team members of ACT Dental are moody, but you will never know that. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's one of the pieces as a leader, you just have to calmly teach that. It's okay to be moody. We're going to be moody. We're striving to do great things. Things aren't going to work so great. We're going to screw up. It's okay. But what we're going to externally manifest, it's going to be this energy that we're creating with our, you know, with our patients. So now here's my big question. AB, we've talked about the five signs. These are all important signs. Now, if I'm listening to this podcast, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got a team member in this zone. What do I do? Help me when the time comes and I have to do this. Yeah. Coach me. How do I do this?
Think about it in three really simple but very effective steps. Okay. So first, we have to prepare. We have to gather all our evidence, get our information together, you know, all of the reasons. Even if you want to pull our top five signs, and if you have a little bullet point that you could put under any of them or all of them, get that documentation all together. Look at it. Get any performance issues, all of that into one place, okay? Review any policies that may be in alignment with some of these challenges you've had with the team member, so that you can have all of your ducks in a row when it comes to being prepared. And then we want to be very direct, the clear is kind, but yet very professional in how we present it and state our decision. Know that wavering can't happen, right? We have to have already made the decision, and that's what our language is moving forward with. You know, Kirk, I've enjoyed having you as a team member. It looks like we're not going to actually be able to continue to work together because of XYZ. And I've decided that your employment is now being terminated here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's,
I mean, that really made me nervous saying that out loud.
Oh my gosh. I was freaking out. I was like, now, there's multiple ways you can do this. I have a friend of mine who says, this is a tough conversation. And he always says, you know, we're going to help you be successful elsewhere, but your employment is going to be terminated today in a very kind way, you know? And however you say it, it's got to be simple. And let me go back to what you just said. That's why I'm a big fan of having systems. Now, if you're trying to gather data and build a case, because we all know this can become litigious, it can be emotional, it can be fueled by a lot of different things, and you need data. So if you're using the right person, right seat scorecard, you already have the data, you've been logging it in, you've already had two conversations. And so now the third one is just the formality of the process. So I think you're exactly right. You have to prepare, and I'm going to ask you to prepare in advance, meaning everybody gets the same treatment. Now, on the other side of things, let me share with you. You might be thinking, well, we're writing this right person, right seat scorecard to let people go. No, the real advantage is you're taking really great team members and you're making them rock stars, great leaders by using that. So the downfall of this scorecard is that occasionally you're going to have to use it to part ways or help people to be successful elsewhere. So you do have to prepare, and we're going to encourage you to prepare in advance. Be direct and professional. It doesn't require a long thing. It can be simple, written out. I usually like to do it at the end of the day, make it simple and make it positive in some case, and then provide some closure. Explain the final pay, benefits, next steps, and then thank you for their their contributions and conversation respectfully. But I think one of the other things that we didn't talk about on this is I learned this from a great friend of mine who's an entrepreneur many years ago, and we teach this is like, today is the day conversation. So I'm going to add one more layer to what AB so eloquently added here. I think when you recognize that somebody's clearly in one of these five different situations that you need to free up their future or help them be successful elsewhere or let them go, you have to say to yourself and to them, today is the day. So today is the day that I have to make a decision. Now, I've done it in the past, and the first time I did it was with a team member who I knew I was going to let go unless they rehabilitated how they behaved. And so I asked them at the end of the day, like, hey, today's the day. And they're like, today's the day for what? I just said, today's the day. I want you to go home. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to have a great meal with your family. I want you to really think about if this is where you want to be and build a career. And if you're all in on where we're going, no need to respond and just go home and think about it. And it's amazing what happens the next day. If people are on the fence and they know they're on the fence, they're going to help you by saying, no, and the first time I did it, that team member came back the next day and said, I thought a lot about what you said last night. No, this is not where I want to be. Now, it was powerful for me because it became very amicable. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, we don't need to create a story. I can help you. Like, we can do this just in a very classy way. And I didn't, get any feedback like thank you on that side. But the reality of the situation is you're treating them with respect. And so I think this is an important thing. And again, I just want to go back to this. We hope you never get in this situation. It's not fun. But I do want you to trace back, where did this start? Was this a bad hire? Did I not have core values? Did I have poor expectations? Did I have a scorecard on how they were performing to show that they were getting results or not getting results? Was I in a position to be able to give them feedback? Did I give them feedback? Is the feedback documented? And, at the end of the day, you can learn from all of this process. Anything else you would add, AB?
No, I think you hit it on the head with the opportunities that we miss to either mitigate or minimize can be the looking back part. Did we skip check-ins because we didn't have time and we didn't prioritize it? The check-ins is a time to celebrate, like you said, and promote the good things that our team members are doing. The check-ins aren't just to focus on the negative. Absolutely not. And right person, right seat is definitely not to focus on the negative, but it is an opportunity to have conversations that could change the course of that person's employment in your practice. And it may just make somebody who's on the fence be on the good side of the fence or vice versa, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's also something that we want to make sure we use those times to celebrate, not just critique as well.
Absolutely. And again, this isn't what this episode is about, but regular team member check-ins where you're doing them systematically to talk about personal high, personal low, business high, business low, and incorporating, when appropriate, the right person, right seat scorecard. By doing that, you can mitigate a lot of those conversations and create another level of trust between you and the team member and vice versa. I think the final takeaways on this is like, listen, I just want to say this. This is not easy. I'm not here to tell you I'm a pro at this. I absolutely hate this. But when it happens, you want to learn and you don't want to lose the lesson of it. And you want to be a classy employer. And you also want to say to yourself, let's not get into this position again. So I think it's important to remember, number one, that consistency is key. Being consistent is probably one of the most important things you could ever do as a leader. And as a leader, you really play a very significant role in creating these expectations and an environment that supports all of this, the growth, the opportunity. And at the end of the day, it's going to be your favorite thing is when you saw leaders grow. And, when you've done it all right and you have the right team member who is in the right seat, you don't have to do that. And when you don't, you can say, okay, listen, we need to have a conversation and it's time to have that tough talk. And today is the day. So give us some final thoughts. Anything you would add, AB?
Oh, no, but yeah, If I think I've had four today is the day conversations recently with
no!
clients, and they never get any easier, and there's tears involved, you know, for our leaders. So just know you're not alone in thinking this is hard. If you're a leader and business owner listening to this, it's across the board tough. Even for our, it doesn't matter what DISC style we are, it is just a tough one because we know that you care. And we just want to give you the framework to help you through such a challenging part of being a business owner.
Absolutely. And again, I'll just say it again, just for our own processes, this is the messy part. And we hope you don't have to deal with this a lot. And if you're struggling with this right now, we don't want you to struggle. Again, AB mentioned we have the Best Practices Association back there. We actually have an app and it's free to join. If you go back to your Apple Store or Google Play Store, you can search Best Practices Association. You can start the journey for free. We're going to see a lot of like-minded people back there sharing ideas. And then you can upgrade to Premium and Teams and the To the Top Study Club. It's all back there. Every resource you would ever need to create an amazing practice and an amazing life. I challenge you to join us. We also have our To the Top Study Club, which I mentioned in this summer. You know what's so cool about our study club? We have two study clubs running concurrently right now. We're actually taking them to Napa next week. I'm so excited. Now, we don't go to Napa all the time, but we do have our regular To the Top Study Clubs here, and we invite people with a golden ticket. You can come for free, kick the tires, and say, hey, what is this all about? It's on a Friday. And this summer, our session is going to be on leadership excellence, some of the best practices we've ever seen from some of the best leaders, and how to foster a flourishing team environment. It is brilliant. If you're even a little bit curious, I'm going to encourage you to come. It's one day. And if you hate it, you can take all the information and just chalk it up as a great day. We'll even feed you and give you great information. It doesn't get any better than that. For free. And you can hang out with us. And at the end of the day, if you just don't know what to do, you can contact Courtney on our team. She's an amazing personal therapist. I like to call, you know, it's amazing how much therapy we actually do, but it's good stuff. And you can learn more about ACT or create a better practice and better life. So AB, thank you so much for being on. That's awesome.
Thank you, Kirk.
Thank you for walking me through a potentially challenging subject. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. I can't thank you guys enough. I don't know how, I don't even know why this is working, but we have several hundred episodes. We're getting close to 800 and I don't even know some episodes. And you guys keep sharing, you keep asking us for things. We're going to keep bringing it with some of the best minds, best coaches in all of dentistry to help you create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching, keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.